So today we are discussing Shalom Bayit, which is peace at home. And you know, for me as a rabbi, it's very hard when you do a wedding to look at the statistics and see that 50% of all marriages in America are on the rocks. 50% of all marriage. So it's hard when you do a marriage, when I perform a ceremony, you have to pray that the marriage lasts. The marriage has to last. So it's very, very scary today. I know people who don't get married. Why? Because they're scared. You know, I'm scared to get married. The guy's scared. He won't give a ring. It's like, I see all my friends. My son tells me. He says, I see all my friends. Either they're miserable, they're married and miserable, or they're broken. Divorced. Psh, that's not a very good report card on marriage. It's a very rough report card on marriage. So what's going on? And the answer is we don't talk about it. We don't talk about it enough. We don't talk about it enough. What does the Torah say about peace at home? What are the strategies the Torah uses to talk about the peace at home? It's not talked about enough. So number one, we have to understand that this is one of the problems of Hollywood. Hollywood created these problems. Hollywood created this idea of romance, which is not really a Hollywood idea. It's an idea that goes back to France, the Middle Ages, where you had these guys, the troubadours, wandering around, singing these songs, and found expression in Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, right? The idea of romance, it's based on the Greek and the Romans, right? Who's the guy? Eros shoots the arrow, and who's the other one?
Cupid
shoots the arrow, and you're in love, right? So the guy comes home to his wife, says, sorry, says, I met the secretary, and Cupid shot his arrow at me. It's not my fault. I'm in love. Right? So there's this concept of love. It's something you cannot, it's not up to you. It's out of your hands. Love is not up to you. You fall in love, you're madly in love, you're what is it, moonstruck. All these are concepts which Hollywood is just all the time, is stressing all the time. So we forget that love is not any of those concepts. The Jewish idea of love is the word ahava. Ahava, number one, has a gematria of 1. 13. Ahava is gematria 13. Ahava is meant to make two people into one person. It's a very, very important concept. It's the concept of Rav Arya Levin. Rav Arya Levin, and I'm starting to feel it now. Rav Arya Levin, his wife was sick. He takes her to the doctor. The doctor says, no, what can I do for you? He says, doctor, he says, our leg is hurting. The doctor says, scratches his head. He says, what? My wife's leg is hurting us. That is one unity. That is what marriage is about. Marriage is about making two people into one person. And the Gemara says already, even before a person is born, they are palga gufa. Each one of us is palga de gufa. We have to realize each one of us is half a body. Spiritually, we're all halves. And our other half is our bat zug. It's interesting, the word for Hebrew for a pair is a bat zug. What is a zug? In Talmudic times, a zug is a scissor. A zug is a scissor. Can you imagine half of a scissor? Each one of us by ourselves is half of a scissor. You cannot accomplish, you cannot make your tikkun in the world. Thank you so much. You cannot make a tikkun in the world without the other half of the cigar. You can't. The scissor can't cut. You can't have children. You can't reproduce. You can't. The functions of marriage cannot be done without. So now we have to talk about the functions of marriage. But before we go, let's talk about love, because that's what we started with, love. So we said ahava. What is the root of the word love?
Give.
Hav. Hav is? Give. That is the root of the word love. We have to forget, love is not moonstruck. Love is not Cupid. Love is the act of giving. There is a concept of badzuk. You have a match somewhere. Mm-hmm. And the question is, does that apply today? The Kabbalists say it's gone. Most people are Gilgulim, and therefore this kind of, you probably had your batzug already, and your batzug is not going to come back because you came back, and so therefore this concept, you see it today. It's very hard to find your match today. And therefore you have to approximate today. That's what I tell people. You can't find 100%. You won't get 100%. If you find 100%, either something wrong with you, or it's a fluke. It's very hard to find 100%. You may find 90%, 80%. And that's if you get more than anything over 70%, take it. Anything over 70%, take it. But people have to compromise. People don't want to compromise. But people don't realize that love comes after the marriage, not before the marriage. As we said, love is built on, the feelings will come when you're giving. When you give something to someone, you invest in them. When you invest in them, that's where you love them. That's why people love their children more than the children love them. The parents love their children. Why do the parents love their children? Because the parents are invested in their children. Children are not invested in their parents, so the children don't love their parents. One mother can look after 12 children, and 12 children can look after one mother. Why? Because she's invested. She gives everything to them. She's invested. So therefore, love is built on what you give. Love is giving. So the more you give to someone, the more you love them. Now, obviously, they have to reciprocate as well. And that's why love is a two. So in a marriage, they're both loving each other. They're both giving to each other. They're both helping each other. They're both giving. But what happens in America is that the guy says, I'm giving, and she's not giving back. I'm giving more than I'm getting. Doesn't pay. Right? It's a capitalist system, right? You know. You get what you pay for, usually, right? I didn't get anything back in return. So what are we meant to get back? That's the question. What is the best thing you get back in a marriage? What is a marriage for?
Appreciation.
One second, what is a marriage for? Okay, there's children. What else? And so one of the most important things is tikkun hamidot. People to forget. The marriage is for you to fix yourself. How do I fix myself? And the answer is, if I don't have anything to rub against, which means, if you can imagine two crags, right? Literally, man and women are two different crags on a mountain. Right? Clefts. And the clefts, where's that? The famous Midrash, right? Who is it? Og Melech HaBashan?
No, that was by the Amori.
By the Amori, right?
Right.
So the Amori, they were hiding over there, on the right, and the mountains, and the Jews are going to go behind. And Hashem made the mountains, the crevices of the mountains went inside each other. And you find the blood coming out of the mountain. They didn't realize Hashem made such a miracle. But that's what man and woman are. Literally, see the physical body of the man and woman. They go inside, plugs. Same thing with our midot. Your midah and her midah are different. You have to try and find a way to compromise your midot. So your midot and her midot will mesh. Right? So you have this aspect of your character trait. She has this aspect of her character trait. You have to mesh your character traits. And you have to perfect your character traits. Marriage is all about giving, which is very hard for a person. Because most people today are the me generation. We're the me generation. So it's very hard to be married to someone and give, because I don't want to give. I want to get. Most people want to get. And that's why leads to a get. Right? Getting leads to a get. A person says, I want to get. Okay, you get it. You get it. You get the get. People have to realize marriage is about giving. You're not a giver, you have to become a giver. And that's the tikkun amidot. You have to become a giver. And especially when you have kids, it's all about giving. If you get anything back from a kid, you're very, very lucky, and it's exceptional, right? You get up early in the morning, you change the diapers, stinks and whatever, and you're investing in the kid's future, yeshiva tuition, and what do you get back from the kid? Tzarot! Especially girls, boy. I trouble you, teenage girls. Boys give you tzara when they're young, and girls give you tzara when they're older. And hopefully they'll give you a wedding. You know, that's your nachat. You get a nachat, you get a wedding, you get grandchildren, that's the next. Hopefully it will lead to that. But you have to invest. It's a lot of investment. It's a tremendous investment. So marriage is all about investing. Number one is you're investing. Number two is you're working on your midot. And that's very hard, because sometimes you want to get angry. Sometimes she does something, whatever, so, and you're not happy. Sometimes you're not getting enough of a physical relationship. Men are all about physicality. Women are all about emotion. You know, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. Is that right or wrong? Mm-hmm. Well, we don't say that. We say, look at this. Look at this beautiful idea. The Torah says, man was alone. What is that telling you? Lo tov hiot adam levado. It's not good for a man to be alone. So what is a man? A loner. Man is a loner. Man does not like being bossed around. Man does not like someone else in his environment. I'm the king of the castle. I don't want people around me telling me what to do. Whereas a woman was always double. A woman was never born. Imagine, she was born into the world as a wife. From birth, Chava was created to be a wife of Adam. She never felt that loneliness. It's amazing. Women are naturally social. Men are more aloof and more lonely. Loners, they can manage by themselves more. So the natural state of things, people never get married. Natural state of things, that's what's happening today. People are going back to the basics. They're going back to the natural state, which is they're fooling around. Men especially, why would I get married? I can fool around with 5 girls or 10 girls or 50 girls and get away with it. Yeah? No responsibilities. That's the natural state of a human being. Hashem says, no. The person's got to leave his husband, his father, and his mother, and cling to your wife. What is the Torah telling us? Can you imagine? The parental relationship, so important, the Torah. Kibbutz Av is so important. Yeah, the Torah is telling you, leave your parents. Because the most important thing in your life is going to be your wife. Well, we're talking about men. So your wife is going to be your most important thing. Hard to imagine, right? Purvu, you have to go and find a wife. Man's got to go and conquer and find a wife, right? It's his obligation. So we have that obligation to find a wife, which is not a normal state. Almost everything is men just fool around all day, right? That's what men want to do today, right? And women also want to do it today. It's amazing. It's crazy. It's a crazy society. We're living in a crazy society. But we're going back to the natural state. That's a natural state. It's not unnatural. Marriages are unnatural. So the problem is, marriages are natural, therefore you have to work on it. That's what people don't realize. Marriage is not a natural state. It's not natural for you to wake up and someone else in your room telling you where to put your socks, your dirty socks. It's not natural for a person to tell you your toothpaste lid is not covered. You know, all these small things add up over time, and the person says, I'm sick of this person. He's a slob. The guy's a slob. I married a slob. And she walks out. So some of these small things add up to big things. So number one is marriage is not a natural state. Number two is love is giving. Number three is tikkun amidot. So if God would not have commanded us to get married, we would never have invented it. Man would never invent it. Man would never invent marriage because marriage locks the man in. Right? Even if he has three wives, still locked into those three wives, right? So the fundamental challenge of the human condition is to rise above our human inclinations. Torah is telling us, rise above your yetzer. Today it's one man, one woman. It's very hard. You have to rise. You have to raise yourself above the yetzer. You have to raise yourself above your inclination. So it's not natural. One man, woman is not natural. It's not a natural state. Look around you. It's not natural. It's not normal. We have to control ourselves and make that our natural state. And that's where the Torah invents something new. Kiddushin! It's kiddushin, for goodness sake. Marriage is what? It's kiddushin. It's supernatural. It's holy. It's above the plane of the natural. Not only do you have to get married, your marriage has to be a holy marriage, holy matrimony, which the Christians got from us. It's wild. It's not just you're getting married, and you have to get married. It's now you have to make your marriage holy. It's kiddushin. It's a totally different framework. It's a union based on holiness. Wild. Why? Because a union that's going to produce holy children has to be a holy union. If it's not a holy union, so what is holiness? So Rashi says in Parsha Acharimot, which we're going to do in next week, right? Next Shabbat. Parsha Acharimot, he says, holiness is morality. If you have one man, one woman, that's morality already. If she's allowed to you, she's your wife, morality. That's totally a moral situation. That's holiness. You're living a holy lifestyle. Ramban makes it even harder. Ramban says holiness is abstaining from certain things which are allowed, but not allowed to be done in excess. So excess of anything, that's unholiness. Ramban says, minimizing the pleasures of life is holiness. It's a very different way of thinking. But kiddushin is a supernatural institution. Marriage is not normal, number one. Number two is, not only is it not normal, it's gonna, we want it to be supernatural. We want it to be holy, like Hashem is holy, marriage is holy. It's the total opposite of anything society has ever dreamed of. There's no such thing in society. No other religion will talk about holy matrimony, but they don't explain what it means. Kiddushin, what is kiddushin? Holiness. What do you mean holiness? She's sanctified to me and not to you. She's holy to me. She's not holy to you. She's hekdesh to me. She's my holy object. She's forbidden to the rest of the world. She's part of me. So it doesn't come intuitively. You don't slide comfortably into marriage. Unless you're very young and you're used to it and you're brought up to believe in it, you slide into it. If you're not very young and you're brought up, your own family, they're not pro-marriage per se. You're not brought up to be pro-marriage. You don't see a good marriage with your parents' marriage if they're still lasting. Your parents' marriage is still lasting. It's right. It's unusual. So there's no role models today. In those days, there are role models. You know, your parents are married, your uncles are married, your aunts are married, your sisters married, your brothers married. Everyone's married. So I'll get married. You slide into it. Today it's not like that. Today you have to choose it. The people are choosing it later and later on in life. It's a big problem. And then when they do choose it, they scratch their head and said, maybe I made a mistake. You know, I had a case in Vancouver. I tell you this story. It's a true story. That I had a couple over there, most unlikely couple. He was a professor and he was an engineer. Nothing against engineers. But he used to fool around with women. He was known to fool around with women, and he went out with his girl. They're both divorced the second time around, and they both have kids, and problems with the kids. They don't get along. The kids get along. And I tell her, don't marry him, the guy. Don't marry the guy. She said, nope, I'm going to marry him. So she married him. I didn't do the chiddush. She got someone else to do chiddush. She comes to me 2 weeks later. She says, Rabbi, you were right. And she has a whole book of things, reasons why I'm right. He did this, and he did this, he did this. I said, throw away the book. Now you're married. I told you not to get married. Once you're married, stay married. Stay married. So today, I'm still married. Baruch Hashem. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. So she took my advice. She threw the book away, and she worked on the marriage. Which means that if there's a will, there's a way. Most marriages, unless there's abuse, I tell people, if there's abuse, there's nothing you can do. There's no abuse, work on it. Work on it. Everything is possible. Marriages turn around. People grow, hopefully. People mature, hopefully. People hear classes and they're working on it. You know, so I texted a guy today. He just got divorced. I said, please come to the class. He says, I already read Rabbi Arush's book. It didn't work, and I'm not interested. But that's a guy who's not going to grow. That's the guy who's not going to have. There's no hope for the guy unless he's willing to learn. He's willing to grow. He's willing to know something about how to. He's not willing to open his mind. He's very fixed in his ways, so that's why his marriage didn't work. His wife is very, very lovely girl. She's very flexible, very sweet. Yeah, but the guy is a tough guy. So a person's got to be flexible as well. A person's got to be willing to compromise. So that's the tikkun midot. So now we come to the biggest challenge of marriage. Marriage is the only institution I know of which is eternal. Do you know of any other agreement? You signed an agreement that it's for eternity? Even death does not part us. Even though I think that's Christians say that. Till death do us depart, right? Something like that. I don't know what they say. In Judaism, even death does not part you. The only thing that can part you is a get. Because after death, you're together again. Your souls are together. So that's going to be heaven or hell. Depends where, you know. If it's hell and earth, it's going to be hell and earth. Well, if it's going to be heaven and earth, it's heaven and that world. And that is what we're trying to get to. We're trying to get to a stage where marriage is heaven. Where you like being married, you love the other party, you want to be with the other party. And you know what? It comes from us. Because we men decide the fate of our marriages. How do we decide the fate of our marriages? How we act at home. How we behave with our spouses. If you show love, and you're beaming love all the time, for sure they're going to beam love back at you. A woman is a mirror. A woman is a mirror of what she sees from you. You direct things. You walk in a bad mood, you ruined everything. You ruined the atmosphere. It says Rabbi Twersky, the great Rabbi Twersky, Avraham Twersky, wrote all these books. He says he has outside his house a worry tree. So what's a worry tree? He said when he comes home from work, he hangs all his worries on the tree. It's like a psychological thing. Before you go home, it's very important to go home with a smile on your face. Normally what happens is a guy comes home, he's exhausted, he comes home, he's in a bad mood, he had a hard day at work, and this and that. And he goes in home, and the kids are running around like wild, and the food's not ready, and everything's a mess, and he goes crazy. But she also goes to work. So today, you have the living. So he goes crazy at living, Baruch Hashem. They're both going crazy at living. But anyway, it's forever. Suppose you had an offer. Can you imagine? Someone gives you an offer. You get a free house on the north side in Edison. It's a big house on Hamlin Street. Free! Only thing is you have to sign a commitment. You're going to live there all your life. You're not allowed to move. You're going to be there all your life. Would you sign a commitment to be there all your life?
No.
Yes, you wouldn't. Would you? But think about it. When you get married, that's what you're doing. Maybe I shouldn't say that. But you have to realize it's for life and it's commitment. Not just in this life, it's also in the next world as well. But trouble is, what happens is, people change. So number one, how do I know what she's going to be like in 20 years? I don't know. It's a gamble. Life is a gamble. You have no other choice. You have to jump. That's why it's like party of the sea. It's a gamble. They parted the sea and they went to the sea. They don't know what's going to happen. Is Paro going to cross the sea with them? Is Hashem going to close the sea in the middle? It's all Emunah. You have to jump in. Marriage is a gamble, but it's got to be a calculated gamble. There's a reason a gamble, complete gamble, and a calculated guess. Marriage is a calculated guess. Now, how do you ensure your marriage is going to last? The main thing is not how you dance on the disco floor. It's not which movies you like. It's what your common goals are. If your goals are the same, your marriage is heading in the right direction. If the goals are different, it's going to fall apart. And the problem is, many people don't talk about goals before they get married. I know a case, a true case. They got married, and she says, I want kids. And he says, well, I don't want kids. I said, what, you didn't talk about it before you got married? No. Never discussed it. So they got divorced. Imagine, it's hard to imagine, right? Jewish people don't want kids. The guy doesn't want kids. Or maybe felt he's too young to have kids. I don't know what the story was, but he wouldn't have kids. She wants a kid. So it's okay. Get divorced. So she's single and he's single. Or he's fooling around somewhere. I don't know what he's doing. But it's very tragic. Why? Because people don't discuss the main issues before they get married. Idiots! What are you doing? Watching movies. You go to a movie, I'll take her out to a restaurant. The main thing is to talk. The main thing, that's why shidduchim. You go on a date, and what you do on the date is you sit in the lobby of a hotel and talk. What do you talk about? You talk about your goals in life, how many kids you want, what schools you want them to go to, what you want out of life. That's the main thing. Because that's the common theme in your marriage. What is your marriage built on? It's built on the goals. What are you trying to achieve in your life? But if she wants to achieve something like that, and he wants to achieve something like that, they're going to drift apart very easily. So it's an eternal commitment. It's a very hard commitment. It's a very hard commitment. And a person, when they get married, they have to know it's eternity. And when a person is married, they have to realize it's for eternity. And I'm in this, let's make it work. Listen, why fight when you can enjoy life? Why waste your time fighting? It's such a waste of energy. I've been to many houses, beautiful houses. And then they get divorced and the money goes to the lawyers. The lawyers get the money. You know, a famous joke. Barbie and Ken, right? So the guy goes to the store to buy a Barbie doll for his daughter, right? And he buys a Barbie doll, regular price. And he sees Barbie and Ken, and it's very, very expensive. He said, why is it very expensive? Why is this one very expensive? Oh, they got divorced, and Barbie got all the money. So it's a very expensive Barbie doll. She got all the money. So anyway, so the lawyers get all the money. The lawyers make killings, marriage lawyers. It's not in their interest to make shalom bayit. You never go to a counselor. First thing you ask the counselor is, what success do you have in marriage? Because a lot of marriage counselors, they're not marriage counselors, they're wreckers of marriages. They'll tell the people, listen, you don't get along, split. They're not pro-marriage. You've got to find out if the counselor is pro-marriage. If the counselor is pro-marriage, go to the counselor. If you're not pro-marriage, what are you going for? So the lawyers, for sure, are not pro-marriage. They want to make their money. They want to make their money to make trouble. So they're worse. They make things worse. They just get the money. That's all they care about. So it's very important to lose sight. Yes, you are in it forever. Make it as pleasant as possible. Make it as enjoyable as possible. Because you have the choice. It's your choice. You can make it a hell, or you can make it pleasant. How do you make it pleasant? And the answer is, you make it pleasant. Why? If you make a good atmosphere in your house, she's going to reciprocate. She's your mirror. Your wife is your mirror. However you act, it's very unusual for the wife to be nasty when you're nice. It's very unusual, highly unusual. Although I've heard cases like that. But it's very highly unusual. If you give her love and you shower her with love, she may be the biggest shrew in the world, she's going to turn into love. She has to, because there's no other way. You're just showering her all the time. I love you, I love you. Kisses. And by the way, it's very important. Hugs and kisses are very, very important for women. Some men, it's very hard. They're very cold or whatever. They have to force themselves. And it's very important. Satisfaction, we'll talk about next week. A private class only. No movies, no class, no cameras. But the physical aspect of marriage is very, very critical. And the rabbis are concerned about her pleasure. The rabbis are concerned about her satisfaction. So it's very important that we're doing this for her. It's for her. And don't forget, she is the light of your life. My wife is the light of my life. She's the main building block in your life. She's Akeret HaBayit. She is the main foundation of your house. She is the house. How do we know? It says by Mordechai. What's it by Mordechai? Vaykach Mordechai. He took Esther lo lebat. He took her as his bat, as his daughter. Right? So the Gemara says, Atikra bat elabait. He took her as his house. A house is your wife. Your wife is your house. So the Gemara in Aramaic calls it the bitu. The bitu. Dalet bet yud taf. Hey, bav. His wife. The bitu. This is bayit. A wife is your house. Because she makes the atmosphere. She makes your house. You make the atmosphere, and she makes the house. But based on your atmosphere, how you walk in, how you show affection, that's what you get back. Very simple. So the guy says, my wife doesn't love me. Do you love her? Right? Do you show affection as well? So I'm going to talk about that. All right. I'm going to have to talk about that. So it's very, very important what you do. You make your life. You make the wife. You make your house. You are the man of the house. You give the example. You get the role model. If you show affection, you'll get affection. If you show roughness and toughness, that's what you'll get back. Very simple. Survival. The Gemara says, a person should not show too much fear in his house. Shouldn't get them scared. Shouldn't run a house built based on fear. Why? Because he comes home and he says, you went to the mikveh? Yeah. He said, no. It wasn't pure. Well, start screaming at her, shouting at her. So you know what? Next time she's going to go to the mikveh, even if she's impure. She's going to makshil him. He comes home on Friday night. Where's the food? The food's not ready. What's going on? So next week she's going to break Shabbat to make the food. So a person should not make Emma Yitra. The classic case was Papus. Papus, it says, when he left his house, he used to lock her in. He used to lock his wife in. Sure enough, she fooled around. If you don't show trust in a marriage, if there's no trust in the marriage, where is the God? It's very important to show trust in the marriage. It's important to show affection to your wife. The most critical thing for a man, be affectionate. It's hard for a man to be affectionate. Sometimes. It's very, very important for a man to be loving and kind and affectionate and sweet to his wife. I'll tell you why. Because if your wife cries, it's a tremendous kitrug against you. You won't be successful in life if your wife is crying. You won't be successful. If your wife cries, in Shemayim, they're examining you already. Her tears cause a tremendous accusation in heaven. It's very important. Don't cry. It says a woman's tears are very easy. And they are. They just turn the tap on and boom. So it's very important to keep your wife away from crying. Do whatever you can to stop her from crying. Give constant love, constant support, constant affection. And you'll get it back. If you show that, if you do these things, you're going to get it back tenfold. She's going to do everything for you because she knows you love her. What does a woman want in a marriage? She wants, number one, commitment. Number two, she wants security. Number three, she wants love. Number four, she wants appreciation. And you know what? We all want that. But if you give it, most likely you'll get it. If you don't give it, you probably won't get it back. Those days where it's better for a woman, she says, I'd rather be married than not married. It don't matter who I marry, I just want to be married. Those days, I think, are gone. Women are not like that anymore. Women say, it's not working out, I'll also quit. So it's very important for a man to work hard at all. Where do we see this? Even Hashem. It says, Hashem, Mechadesh, Betuvo, Bechol Yom. Can you close the door? Mechadesh, Betuvo, Bechol Yom, Tamim. Hashem is Mechadesh, His world, every single day. What does that mean? Well, He couldn't create a world that just kept on going without any effort. He's giving us the example. Hashem doesn't need to do any effort. He says, even your world also, you have to Mechadesh every day. Your marriage has to be renewed every day. And that's what we forget. Every day you come home, you have to renew your marriage. Every day you come home, you've got to say, I love you. Every day you come home, you've got to give affection. Every day you come home, you've got to put a smile on your face and be loving and kind and sweet and hugging. It's very, very critical. I'm telling you, men don't hug their wives enough. And the laws of Nida is very hard. Laws of Nida, you get 2 weeks. But laws of Nida help you to communicate without being physical. The beauty of the laws of Nida is you're forced to communicate. Because women want someone to talk to. You know, famous joke is, she always says, his hearing is very bad, you know. He has selective hearing. My husband has very selective hearing. He only hears what he wants to hear, he doesn't hear. But women want to talk. They like to talk, and they want to feel like the husband really pays attention to them. So yeah, the person's going to act as if they do pay attention. And if they're sympathetic and be nice and sweet, you know. So, a person has to work very hard at this. If Hashem is Mechadesh before Chol Yom Tamid, he has to work at renewing the whole world every second, every day. We also have to do it. Why? Because people change. Every day we have to renew it. So she's getting older, she has kids, she's not as patient as she used to be. Happens all the time. She's short. Menopause, by the way, is the worst thing in the world. It's a disaster. She turns into a monster sometimes. It's like, ugh, it's disaster. For men, it's a disaster. It's a big disaster. The hormones kick in, and I don't know what happens. The estrogen, I don't know what happens. The woman you know is not the woman you know anymore. But thank God, after a while, she goes back to being what the same woman again. After a few, I don't know how many years it takes, but it's hell. You go through hell on earth. It's hell on earth. Unpredictable hell. You just got to live through it and smile. And if you live through it, it comes back again. You go back to routine again. But I guess every woman is different, and some are different. I don't know. But I'm just telling you some experiences that it's hell on earth if you're married to a woman. For menopause, it's hell because all hell breaks loose. Hormones break loose. So you have to keep that in mind. Get to age 45, 50, it's going to be a bit of hell for a few years, and then hopefully you'll get back. I don't know if they can do anything. Hormones, I don't know if they can do it. Don't even mention it. So everyone, that's the problem. The problem in marriage is people assume, I'm getting married, everything's going to be fine, that's it. I made a decision, I'm married now, nothing to worry about. Oh yeah? Wake up. Wake up, because every marriage has got ups and downs. Every marriage has ups and downs. And you have to know that when you're up, it's not going to last very long. When you're down, it's like disaster. When you're down, you really want to walk out. You just want to. You want to give up. You don't know how to get out of this. This is. You have to teach yourself. You have to know how to be able to. Sometimes you can't talk to your wife for 2 days. At the beginning, it really hurts you. She did something that caused you so much pain. I can't even talk to her. And she feels the same way sometimes. You caused her so much pain. She can't. How can you say that? How can you do that? I can't understand it. You caused me so much pain. But eventually, you're going to come back to it and talk and hash it out. And work it out and move on to the next problem. That's what marriages are. It goes from one, and a person's got to realize this is normal, because you're trying to live with someone. You know, once I went with my cousin, it's a true story, hope he doesn't read this, see this movie. When my cousin, I was young, I was 18, he was like 20, and we went to Scotland together. We went on a trip, he planned everything, we went on a trip together. We were in a sleeping car in the train, you know, bunk beds, one on top, one in there. We go to Scotland, and we're best friends, we're good friends, we're cousins together. We go to Scotland, and then a couple of days later, he says, I want to go here. And I said, no, I want to go somewhere else. We had a big fight. Now, can you imagine? It's not a marriage, okay? We came off the train on the way back, we wouldn't talk to each other. We're good friends, we're the best friends, but it took a while, you know. When you live with someone, and they have different tastes than you, and you have to get along. There's no other choice. As long as your goals are the same, you have to get along. If the goals are not the same, that's a big problem. The main thing in life is goals. Because if you're achieving the same thing, it's like working in the same company. You don't have to get along, so you have different days, I have different days, but we're working in the same company, we're working the same goal. The goal is the same. That's the main thing in life. So you have to make the other party feel needed. You know what? Sometimes a person is very good at everything. Some men are very good at everything. They're good in the kitchen, they're good in the home, they're good with the kids, they're good at everything. And the wife feels that I'm useless over here. So even if you're good at everything, give her space. Say, listen, you're better than me in this, and you should do this, and you should take charge of this. And otherwise, you know, not all men are like that. Some men are very good. Handy men, and they're amazing guys. Some guys are multi-purpose, these guys. They're like Swiss knives. They got things for everything. So, halavai, we should get to that level. But on the other hand, you still have to make room for your wife. You should never make your wife feel unneeded. You have to always tell your wife she's beautiful. Right? If you don't tell your wife you're beautiful, you're finished, you're dead. You always tell your wife, you're gorgeous. But you know what? I have a suggestion. I really like you, you're beautiful. A little bit like this. Suggestion. You're allowed to lie in marriage. Right? How do you know that? Hashem tells, what do you tell? Tells Abraham, he says, Lama tzaka sara lemor. What does he say?
Adonizokain.
No, he said, you, she is.
Right.
And she said, she is, baloti ve loaiteli edna, vania. He didn't say that she said that he was too old. Hashem didn't want to cause mischief between Sarah and Abraham. He said that Sarah says that she was too old. But really, she said that he was too old. You're allowed in marriage, but you got to be very careful. You got to pick what you don't say. So what I say is better if you don't say something. And she assumes something else, that's allowed. But to say a lie deliberately, if she catches you, she won't believe next time. It's going to break the trust in the marriage. So you're a deliberate liar, I don't trust you anymore. Half a case of the marriage broke down because of that. He was always nice, and he was good, and he was smooth, but he was a liar. And she said, I've had enough. Terrible, because she couldn't rely on anything he said. But he was always trying his best to make it things, you know, good. He was trying his best to make sure she was happy. His lies were making happy, right? I'm lying in order to make her happy. I'm allowed to lie. Yeah, you get caught too many times. I married a liar. She couldn't trust him anymore. So a person's going to be very careful. So just limit it to not saying everything. Not the whole truth. Right? You limit it. You don't know. Where were you today? I was in the mall. Da, 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 da. What do you do? Whatever. Try and mitchamek, you know. Sometimes you can't say everything. But it's very important in marriage to be open. It's very important there's no secrets, because when they find out, they go mad. Okay, so it's important in marriage to be open. But again, some things you don't have to say. I mean, you don't have to say every single thing that happened to you in life. They're crazy. You're crazy. All right, so why was Adam lonely? Let's go back. After all, he's living in the Garden of Eden, right? The angels are there. They're serving him. He's got all the animals around him. Why is he lonely? He had everything. Huh? That's a very high level you're talking about. It's a very high level. Isn't that amazing? Ari, you're a very high level. You know why he was lonely? It was because he had everything. But he had nothing to give to. Hashem created the world. Kabbalists say, why? He wanted to give. He doesn't have to give. He doesn't need to give. But how can you be perfect without giving? Give a gratuitous grieving. So Adam also felt lonely. He could not give anyone. So now with his wife, he could give someone. He could touch someone's life. So you see today, unfortunately, Hyde Park is a disaster. You know why? I've never seen so many dogs in my life. It's getting more and more every day. You know why? Because people are lonely. They have nothing to give to. If they have a dog, they have to have a pet. Because they're lonely without it. And the irony is, they'd rather have a pet than a kid. You know, I saw a woman on the street. I know this woman. I said, okay, what happened to it? Why did you buy a dog? I said, why don't you have another kid? He said, Rabbi, you know, it would have been cheaper. You know, to pay for the dog, just inoculation, exam, that. It's crazy.
It would have been cheaper.
That's what she said. So I said, why don't you? Sell the dog and get a kid. No. What's going on? What's the life? What's the world about? What is your, what are you leaving in the world? Another dog? Dog lives 7 years or 12 years, whatever it is, and that's it, it's gone. And what does it do for you? Okay, it gives you love. So have a kid. It gets so permanent in your life. Kids, grandchildren. It's a disaster. And it's such a mess all over the whole street. So I don't know, it's a disaster. Counterpart's a disaster. Dogs everywhere. Everywhere dogs. Why? I'm just telling you why. Because people want to give. That's what I'm saying. If you want to give, get married. Give someone else. Give someone worthwhile to give to. And then give your kids and then someone worthwhile to give to. And that's why some parents get depressed when their kids move out. I still haven't got to that point. I can't tell you what it feels like yet. So... But some people do, because there's no one to give to, especially mothers. You know, my kids, you know. The primary reason for female infidelity is neglect on the part of a husband. The wives describe it as not feeling appreciated. They dedicate themselves to their husbands, but in the end, all they get is complaints. Imagine. That's a famous story, right? The guy joins a cult. You only allow 2 words every year. Right, so he goes to the head of the cult. After a year, he says, no, you have anything to say? He says, yeah, bed hard. A year passes by, he says, you have anything to say? He says, yeah, food terrible. The third year, he goes to the guy, he says, well, you have anything to say? He says, yeah, he says, I quit. The guy says, I'm not surprised. Since you've been here, you've been doing nothing but complain. So every time the guy comes home, there's a complaint. Another complaint. You know what she's going to do? Heck with the guy. Find someone else. It's a disaster. There are few things that destroy a marriage more quickly than complaints. So being hypercritical spouse, that's in fact before you get married, you've got to find out the guy's hypercritical or not. So hear this joke. This is a terrible joke. So here this guy's going on a date and he's driving this girl. He really likes this girl. She just looks very nice, she's very sweet. And he stops at a red light. She turns off his ignition in those days and she took his key. And the light's saying, give me the key, quickly, give me the key, I gotta move, they're all honky at me. She gives him back the key. He said, what do you do that for? She said, I'm just trying to see your reaction. How angry you'd get. See what kind of temper you have. So he says, you passed. She And he told her, you failed. But that's it. We need to find out. You can't have a hypocritical spouse. It's the worst. Worst. Okay. So look how much we invest in our children. Think about it. A spouse is more important than children. One of the biggest mistakes in marriage is putting the child above the spouse. Women are very guilty of that sometimes. You have to know who's the most important thing. Men are guilty also because the men dote on their daughters, usually. They dote on their daughters. The spouse is waiting for you to come and give her a hug. Oh, my daughter comes, runs, daddy, daddy, my daughter, my baby. What about my wife? Who's my real love in my life? Who's going to be with me all my life? Not my daughter. So my wife is first. Say, sorry, honey, just 1 second, going to kiss my wife first, and then I kiss you. That's impressive. And that should work on both sides. People got to realize your spouse is the most important thing in your world. When I got married, my father-in-law was a genius. He was a genius, psychological genius. He comes to me very quietly the day after I got married. He said, I want to tell you a secret. I said, yeah? What's the secret? He said, you'd only be happy if she's happy. The guy's a genius. But he's right, so right. If your wife is not happy, you're going to be miserable. She's going to make your life bitter. If she's unhappy, she's going to make you bitter. So what do you have to do? You need to focus on your marriage. There are good marriages and there are bad marriages. There are better marriages and worse marriages. But you're not married just to survive. And that's important. If you get this out of this class, obviously your marriages have to survive. But marriages are not just for survival. Marriages are there to thrive. You're in it not just to survive marriage. Yeah, I was married 70 years. We had a guy over here in offshore, unfortunately. Old timer, no one knows him. 50th anniversary, he made over here. Big 50th anniversary, very expensive. He buys his wife a beautiful diamond ring. The next day he quit. Moved out. Moved in with his mistress, 40-year-old mistress. They're both in their 70s, 80s. Imagine, 50 years is like a parting gift. Thank you for 50 years, here's a party for you. See ya, goodbye. Crazy, right? So why? He says, my marriage was there 50 years, but never thrived. I didn't feel magic. I didn't feel anything. So his wife was good. She was plugging along. They were plugging along together, but there was nothing. He didn't feel it. He wanted sparks. He wanted romance. He wanted, I don't know what he wanted this way. But she could have come. He went mad after 50 years. I mean, 80 years old. He just said, I need something else. I need something new. So imagine what a way to go. Imagine. Makes a big party. All his friends come. All the friends come. And then the day after, he just... Don't trust yourself until the day of your death. We don't know who we are. We change every second. First says commitment. Hashem says, I want you to learn commitment. If you can commit yourself to your wife, you can commit yourself to me. If you can't even commit yourself to a physical being, marriage is all about practicing love. If I can't love my spouse, I can't love my children, how can I love God? Very simple. How do you practice? You need something to practice on. How do you practice love? Because you don't know what love is. If you don't know what love is, how can you love Hashem? Right? So look at the order of love in the Torah. Where is the first time it says love in the Torah? Doesn't say by Adam. Doesn't say by Noah. Doesn't say by Abraham. It says by Abraham. But not in the context of marriage. Take your son, your only son, the one you love. Et Yitzhak. It says in the context of a father and a son relationship. It's interesting. The next time it says the word love is Yitzhak. Yitzhak and Ishto. People don't think of Yitzhak as this lover. The first time it mentions love in the Torah of a spousal relationship is Yitzhak and Rivka. Amazing! I say Abraham should mention love. You know, Adam. So, what's going on over here? Okay, third time. Where's the third time it says love? I'm talking about sequence. Obviously, Yaakov also says love. Yeah, he loves Rachel, it says.
Yitzchak and Esav.
But that's also family. It's also children. Where's the next level? What's the next? We have to meet again. Ki gerim hayitem beretz. No. We have to have Hashem lekecha. Right? And then, there's different sequence. Yeah, but yeah. I'm saying, the sequence in Devarim, it's after Hashem HaKecha, and then after the Megera. So first comes your child. Why is it first your child? Because that's how you know what love is. Love is commitment. How many people divorce their children? It's crazy, no? My wife, I picked. I didn't pick my kid. Right? I didn't pick my kid. I picked you. I didn't pick you. I didn't have a choice. Right? She popped out. I mean, what can I do? It's not my fault. My wife, I picked. And I'll divorce my wife, I picked, which means I'm an idiot because I married her. My child, I don't divorce, but why? I didn't pick my child. It's just, right? It should be more common to divorce your kid than divorce your wife. The wife I picked. The child I didn't pick. And yet what we find the opposite. Why? Because you're invested in your kid. Have. Give. Ve'hafta. Causes love. Giving causes love. Which stock do you look at in the stock column? The ones you invested in. Why? You invested in them. In a sense, you pay attention to them because you're invested. Your biggest investment in life is your spouse. Marriage costs a fortune, right? I don't know. As an institution, it costs a fortune. You have to build a house, you have to build a home, you have to buy furniture, you have to come, you have to buy dresses and whatever. Today, women work. That's the problem. So that's why it's falling apart. Because I don't need you, you don't need me. What do I get out of you? What do I get out of me? I can manage by myself. So we have to make our marriages thrive. It's not just survive. It's also thrive. That's the key. So marriages thrive when the couple applies ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Love your friend as yourself. That's the Ramban. Ramban says ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha applies to the marriage. How do we know? Because in the Sheva Brachot it says re'im ahavim. The only time it says re'im ahavim is in ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Amazing. And in the marriage. So Re'im is Re'a, Re'acha. And Ahuvim is Ve'ahavta. Ve'ahavta Re'acha. Kamocha. Love your friend as yourself. Love who's your best friend? Your wife. How do you love your wife? Treat your wife as part of your body. She is really part of your body. How do we know she's part of your body? Because at the beginning, she was part of Adam. That's what the Torah is telling us. The Midrash says an amazing thing. Which part of Adam was it taken from?
Side.
From its tzela. Right? Where's the tzela? The rib. Or the side. It's near his heart. The Midrash says it was taken from near his heart because your wife should be next to your heart. It's a very, very... These rabbis were amazing. You know why? Because they knew about love. They knew about emotions. They knew how your wife should be. And where a woman needs to be, where a woman needs to feel that she is in your heart. She's right next to your heart. You think about her constantly. You love her. It's a very, very important. That brings to a thriving marriage. Your spouse's pain is your pain. Your spouse's joy is your joy. Your spouse's concerns is your concerns. Your spouse's needs are your needs and your responsibilities. Realistically, very few marriages lead to the ideal. I'm trying to get there now. I'm going to get there now. I feel I'm getting there now. It's taken me a long time to get there. You feel right. Your wife's pain is your pain. Your wife's needs are your needs, and you're one. You feel one. You go to the doctor, and you feel really, her hand is hurting me, and her pain is my pain. It's a very high level. That's what we're trying to get to. We're trying to get to that. Vayeda Adam et chavo ishto. He knew his wife. He knew her from the inside out. His mind and her mind were together, meshed. They were meshed, mentally meshed. So realistically, very few marriages reach that. The wrong way is to demand. The right way is to gain empathy by extending it. You give it empathy, you get empathy. You give respect, you get respect. Very important to give respect in marriage. It's very important to not to shatter up. Give her the time to talk and say, listen, I understand what you're trying to say. And it's always good in communication to repeat what the other party said. Do you understand what I said? Sure, I understand what you said. Repeat to me what I said. And you'll find something completely different. Most disagreements in marriage are based on miscommunications. We have to learn how to communicate with our spouses. And the way you communicate is, repeat what she said to her. Is this what you said? Before you get angry, she tells you something. Let me just repeat what you just told me. No, I didn't say that. No. You're taking it out of context. It's amazing. And it's so easy to misread the situation. It's so easy to misread. You see a wife crying. Now, why is she crying? What do I do to her now? What have I done? You'll find she was crying about something else completely. In the meantime, the guy feels hurt because she's crying. She's not crying about you. She's crying about something else. Oh, she's not crying about me. Phew. But how do you know that? It's all miscommunication. A lot of miscommunication. So it's very important to have clear miscommunication in marriage. It's a whole different class. We also need self-transcendence. And that's the hardest thing. Who's going to break the cycle? You know, I told my wife when we got married, I said, well, let's not fight. Let's just enjoy. So much. And that's a person should go into marriage saying to their spouse, let's not waste our time and energies fighting. And it's all negative energy. Let's build. Let's love. Let's do the positive stuff. So a person needs self-transcendence. Why? Because it's a vicious cycle. I attack her, she attacks me. I attack her, she attacks me. I attack her, she attacks me. Someone's going to rise above that. And it's the man's job to rise above it. Because we're working on our midot. We have to work on our midot to rise above that. And therefore, next time she wants to cut you off, because you cut her off many times before that, say, I love you, darling. I love you. Honestly, I don't fight with you. I'm here to love you. That's what I'm here for. That's my function. My function as a man is to love you. You're the most important person in my life. Women want to hear that. So we have to remember, as a husband, we have responsibilities. The Torah focuses on responsibilities of man to his wife. The Torah doesn't focus on responsibilities of woman to her husband. It's interesting, wild. Why? Because the man is usually the abuser. The Torah says, you're the abuser. I'm going to focus on you. Shera, ksuta, vonata, lo tigra. Three things you have to make sure you give her. Shera, food. Suta, clothing. And onata, which we're going to talk about next week. Onata is marital relations. It's your responsibility to provide. Okay, that leads us next week. So there's Raj Shem next week. If anyone has questions, you want to write down and send me or put it